How's everybody tonight? Good? Okay, we're going to go to Luke chapter 24. Spend a little time in the Word tonight. This was the third day after the crucifixion. This is the day of resurrection. And the women came to the tomb. Where do we want to start? Verse 3, they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments, and as they stood, and as they were afraid, and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. So the women came to the tomb, and notice verse 4, it says they were much perplexed. What I want to talk about tonight is, Jesus had spoken numerous times to them on what his plan or what the plan of God was for his life, right? And yet when they came to the tomb, it said that they were perplexed. And I was thinking about that a lot this week. And we're going to talk a little bit on it. We're going to probably go through the whole chapter today. Said they were perplexed in verse 4. And then the angels said, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. Let's read a little more. And returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. Notice that the angels reminded them that he had spoken and told them these things already. So there was a remembrance by the angels. Later down in the chapter, it says that this was a vision that they had. All right? That's important to remember. So the angels reminded them. And when they came to the apostles in Jerusalem there, which told these things unto the apostles, look what happened there, verse 11. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Their word were the truth, what they saw, seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. They came to the apostles to proclaim to them what they saw, and they said to the apostles it seemed that they were idle tales. Nonsense is what that really is. Nonsense. And they didn't believe it. And that struck me so funny, because do we or do we not believe the Word of God? Do we or do we not believe the prophecies that spoke to what would take place? I mean, the whole of Scripture points to Jesus, doesn't it? The whole of Scripture points to his birth, his working in the earth, the miracles and healings that he did, the crucifixion, and of course the resurrection. The whole of Scripture speaks of that. And yet when the women came, they were perplexed, not expecting correctly by what they had heard from God, or from prophets, right? What they had heard from the prophets and what they had heard from Jesus himself. Their words seemed as idle tales, and they believed them not. Let's go to Mark chapter 8 and verse 31. I begin to think about when the Lord was with the disciples or the apostles, and he asked, Who do men say that I am? And they said, Some say Isaiah, some say Elijah, some say Jeremiah, depending on which book you're in there. And then Jesus asked, Who do you say that I am? And what did Peter say? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And this is where we're at in Mark 8 here. Verse 31, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. So he began to tell them. Peter had the revelation, which he got from where? From the Father. Flesh and blood had not told you this. And he begins to tell him what the will of God was for him, what was going to take place, the prophecy of what would be fulfilled in his life. And Jesus would fulfill the prophecy, wouldn't he? There was no doubt he would fulfill the prophecy. And he spake that openly, and he spake that openly, or he spoke that plainly, or he spoke that boldly. He spoke that without any kind of question. He spoke plainly. And he spake that openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. So Peter goes from knowing, hearing from the Spirit that this is the Christ, to what?
Rebuking
the Lord. Did he have the word on what Jesus was going to do? Did Jesus tell him the prophecy of what was taking place in his life? Right? Did he believe it? No. And he began to rebuke Jesus. So when the women came and talked to the apostles, what happened there? They didn't believe it. What did Jesus identify for Peter here in Mark 8 was the problem? Bad memory? No, not bad memory? What does it say there? And Peter took him and began to rebuke him, but when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, "Get thee behind me, Satan." It wasn't just a forgetting. It wasn't just not knowing the prophecy. It was Satan. It was Satan. He went from knowing the will of the Father to say, "Thou art the Christ," to Satan. How many know that within you are both of those thoughts? Have you experienced, anybody experienced some of that? Or one minute you hear and know the will of God, and the next minute there's a Satan that's accusing you and rebuking you, or rebuking that thought that is good? What's the source of that? What's the problem with that? We don't really believe the prophecy. Huh? Jesus believed what the Father said. Jesus did exactly what the Father said. Notice what it says. "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men." He believed not what Jesus had said would take place. In fact, Satan will not allow you, or try not to allow you, to believe prophecy. How many have prophecy in their life? Every one of you does. We've been given prophecy corporately as a church, and most of all of us, I'm sure, have received it individually. Right? What do we need to do with that prophecy? Believe it. Is there a Satan that's working against it? You bet there is. You bet there is. You mean even because Jesus said it, there still could be a Satan fighting against it? Oh, yeah, you bet there is, no doubt. What do we have to do? We must believe. We must believe in the prophecy we receive. It's great to have a prophecy. It's great to have somebody prophesy to you. But what good does it do if you don't believe it? Right? And you might say, "I do believe it." Then why hasn't it come to pass? Why? Because we don't believe it. We've got thoughts that are within us, Satan's within us, that is fighting the truth that God wants to do in our life. "Thou savor, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men." Your thoughts, your savoring, your desire is not toward heaven, not toward the will of God, but your desire is of men. In fact, what is that? Colossians? Is that Colossians 3, Dan? Let's go to Colossians 3. I'll come back to this. Pastor Daniel taught on and preached on this. "If then ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above." So Peter's affection was toward men and not toward God. Right? He had walked with the Lord. The Lord had prophesied that this is what God was going to do in his life. And yet he allowed Satan to cause him to rebuke the very Lord that gave him the promise. Set your affections on things above and not on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. You're dead. If you're dead, then you don't have your own will, do you? You're going to fulfill the will of God who has called you. You're dead in Christ, hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. All right, let's go back to Luke 24. I want to read some more there. Let's read 11 again. Their words seemed to be them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. He had received the prophecy. He had heard Jesus, but yet he was wondering within himself. Why? Because he didn't believe. He did not believe. And behold, two of them came, and behold, two of them went. Wow. That same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. Now, I found out this week while I was thinking about this that these two that were on the road to Emmaus left Jerusalem, where Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Peter, the house, the very place where they were staying, and had heard, listen to this, had heard that they had been to the tomb and didn't find Jesus. So they had already heard this. They had that information in hand. And now they're on the road to Emmaus, right? That's important to remember. Listen to what takes place. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. They didn't know it was Jesus. And he said unto them, what manner of communication are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? Why would they be sad? That's a question. It's not rhetorical. Sorry. Why would they be sad? They had been with the apostles. They had been with Mary, the mother of Jesus, Mary Magdalene. I forget what the other name, Joanna?
Yeah.
They had heard the witness, Brad, that he had resurrected and he was gone. And yet, what were they?
Sad.
Sad. And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto them, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and has not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests, our rulers, delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. This is proving that they were there. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said he was alive. And what does Jesus say in verse 25? Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. He said, fools, slow of heart to what? Believe all that the prophets have spoken. Slow to believe prophecy. Fools. Knowing what they had seen, hearing the witness of what was being said, walking away and yet being sad and slow to believe. We cannot be slow to believe. We must believe what God has. The prophecy that he has for our life, we must believe. What do we want to do? We want to act on it, don't we? We want to get in there and act and fulfill what God has prophesied for us. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And to, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now let's go down to verse 33. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. So they sat with Jesus. Jesus revealed himself to them. They returned to Jerusalem, found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. So they finally, after Jesus appearing unto them, believed. But we need to believe when we receive that prophecy. We've all got prophecies in our life. We've all, Tim, been prophesied to. We need to believe it. You say, I do believe it. If it hasn't come to pass, you don't believe it. Say, that's strong. That's hard, isn't it? It's the truth. I'm going to say it again. It's the truth, Brad. It's the truth. If it's spoken or prophesied, it's going to come to pass. We must believe it that it's going to come to pass. We don't need to take a trip to Emmaus because we heard it the first time. We should have believed it the first time. Do we need to have a visitation of Jesus to believe it? Do we? We should believe it from the prophecy that comes forth, shouldn't we? Amen. We should believe it from the prophecy that comes forth. And it's a great thing. It's an awesome thing that we do that. So the Lord, when he was talking with Peter there in Mark chapter 8, he identified the force or the resistance to the prophecy that was made. He called him Satan. There is always going to be something that wars against the prophecy that we receive, right? What do we do with that? We must believe the prophecy. The war, the battle is going to be there. There's going to be a mixture in your thoughts. But we must believe the prophecy. The prophecy is true. The prophecy is true. We must believe the prophecy. Is there a war? There is a war. Paul talks about the war nonstop through his letters that he wrote. But that prophecy is true. And as long as we believe it and act upon it, it'll come to pass in our life. Might we have to be patient? Oh, yeah. But we need to believe it, don't we? We need to believe it because the Lord's going to bring it to pass. He's going to identify what the prophecy is, and then he'll bring it to pass in our lives. And, you know, we talk about what it's going to take. People say believing is so easy. Believing is more than just agreement. Believing is fulfilling all that is involved with believing. It involves not just believing, but keeping, like we were talking about up there, Tim. That's all part of it. It means to act upon it, to be a doer of it, to bring it to pass, not in our fleshly way, but to bring to pass what the prophecy is. Accomplishing what God said. He said his word would go forth, it would not return void or empty to him, would it? What it was sent forth to do, it will accomplish. How's it going to do that? Through our believing, not by anything else. So we can overcome Satan by believing the prophecy that we've received. Now, notice this prophecy was done through the scripture. Jesus said he made it plain or began to give them understanding according to the scripture, right? Moses, the prophets, I think, and Psalms, it says even in one place. So he made it discern, help them to understand it through that, but also through his presence with them, right? And then they recognized for who he was and went back to Jerusalem and said, of a surety, we know now that this is Jesus. But if we can go and believe with expectation, notice those that went to the tomb. Why did Peter have to go back to the tomb? The women had come and said, he's not there. The angels told us he's risen. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? And yet Peter had to go to the tomb. Wouldn't it have been great if Peter just believed and said, he's risen? What about the two on the road to Emmaus? Why were they sad? It should have been a time of rejoicing, right? It should have been, the prophecy has come to pass. Our Lord has risen. But they didn't believe that prophecy. Jesus had to come, meet with them and say, touch me, Feel me. You got anything to eat? A spirit doesn't eat. So he convinced them, but we need to believe the prophecy for what it is. It's awesome. It's awesome. You want something to happen in your life? You want the prophecy to come to pass? All we have to do is believe. I say all. All we have to do is believe. Simple as that. Fight that battle. How do you fight the battle? Believe God for what he said. Believe the prophecy that's come our way. And he will bring it to pass in our life. Amen? He'll bring it to pass in our life. We make all sorts of excuses about why we haven't become what God said we would be. All manner of things. The way is too hard. I'm too busy. You know, we can find all sorts of excuses. But the truth is, we just don't believe it enough. Search yourselves. You'll see that I'm telling you the truth. We just don't believe. And if you think you do believe it enough and you haven't seen the fruit of it, better check on how you believe. Because a believer, a true believer, accomplishes things that God asks him to do. Right? A true believer. And is an overcomer, isn't it? That's how do you overcome? By believing. Right? Absolutely, Deborah. That's what I wanted to bring to you tonight. Believe your prophecy. Believe your prophecy. Believe it with expectation. Clean expectation. Right? Because there's a Satan out there that's fighting against bringing that to pass in your life. You say, I haven't seen that. Well, believe me, it's there. If you haven't seen it, ask God to show it to you. Something's keeping us from doing what we need to do, right? Something's keeping us from that prophecy being fulfilled in our life. It's a mixture of things. You know, that we talk about how Israel came out of the wilderness as a mixture. There were some that believed and still their heart was still in Egypt. Others believed the Jehovah God, Yahweh. There was a mixture. In our thoughts, the same thing takes place. We war against that, don't we? But believing is the key. Believing is the key. It'll bring the past prophecy in our life. And man, we need that. We definitely need that. Amen. Any questions tonight? You got anything, Pastor Daniel, you want to add?
I might comment.
Come on.
This teaching tonight, very provoking, because I'm not going to say anything you didn't say, Keith, but I was listening carefully for some things that you were saying. It's interesting to me, if I look at the scriptures you read, verse 25, where he says unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. And you're emphasizing the prophecy, right?
Right.
That we got to believe the prophecy. What an amazing thing. Some people may try to use excuses like, well, I don't know what the prophecy is. I don't have the prophecy. I don't have a prophecy or some sort. But I like what he did there when he took in verse 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. It was evident he reacted because they didn't even know it was him. He had been with them the whole time. They didn't discern it.
Right.
So the wisdom of Jesus referred them back to the prophets of the scripture and said, let me show you what the prophets said. Your problem is you didn't even believe the scripture.
That's right.
So when he starts revealing that in the scriptures prophesied of me. So he took them back to something that he thought they should have been very familiar with, the scripture, and showed them, you don't even believe that. So no wonder you're not seeing me.
Mm-hmm.
And then, which the scriptures are the prophecy you're referring to. I mean, if all else fails, that sounds funny, but at least believe the scripture. We were talking about that tonight.
Yeah.
Up there, right? That's why it caught my attention.
Yeah.
But then I noticed, and what you brought out was, Then he revealed himself to them. And when he did, he even showed him his hands and so forth. And once he revealed himself, then notice how he said it. In verse 27, he said, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in the scriptures concerning himself. So he used the scriptures to reveal himself. When he exposed himself and revealed himself to them, in verse 44 is where he says, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spoke to you.
Yeah.
So now he started with himself and said, while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. That's amazing that he brought the prophecy of the scriptures to connect with him and open their eyes to him. And it's interesting, as you teach, I'm thinking that is so simple.
Yeah.
If you believe in prophecy, and it goes back to what I taught 2 weeks ago about, we always went with scripture, interpret scripture, when we should have been going with, what is prophecy saying?
Mm-hmm.
And when you deal with prophecy and you understand that the scriptures are bearing forth all the prophecies of the coming Christ, then when he comes, you won't miss him. And they missed him because they didn't believe what the prophets had said, right, and prophesied, didn't they?
Right.
And so here we are in 2022, and we got to ask ourselves, am I overlooking Jesus because I have missed what the prophet said in the scriptures? And if I have, then no wonder I would miss Jesus when he appears to me. And yet you're showing us right here, if you believe prophecy and you believe everything prophecy says, you won't miss him when he comes. And you will not be one of them fools that is always doubting God. That, Keith, that is a great teaching tonight, man. It just stirs my heart to say, I'm going to believe every word the scripture says, every single word, because it is prophecy. It's not just a written scripture. It is prophecy of a predestined work that God is doing in each one of us.
It's awesome.
And therefore, prophecy, if the scripture is in you, prophecy is in you. And so is Christ.
Yep.
Whether he's been manifested to you or not, he's there because the prophecy says he's there. All you need to do is see him and let him reveal himself to you. And then, of course, your life's changed after that. That's good stuff, man. Thank you, Keith.
That's awesome. Go home believing. Go home believing. All that the scripture has said. All right. Thank you, everybody. Good night, everybody online. We'll see you later.